Want to learn some inyanim, short inyanim, some yisodes. Okay, I call them yisodes, some principles. Everything I'm doing today is from the Sefer, from Margonisa. Margonisa Tova, a good pearl from one of my favorite authors, Rabbi Dvorkis. I use this stuff all the time. And we have a lot of stuff in our Pesach. I want to go through some things that I've extracted, some things that drew my attention. Okay, there's an Indian at the night of the Seder that, let's take a step back. Every Friday night when you come home at night, Friday evening after davening, Chazal tell us in Sechta Shabbos that a person is accompanied by two malachim, Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Hashalom. And the Malachi Asharis, they come home with you, and they look at them. When you walk into your home, they look at the table. And if they take note that the table is set, and the mita is mutsas, the bed is made, the table is set, and I don't remember all the words of the Gemara, everything is in order, then the Malachim, they bless the person. Oh, wow, look how fortunate you are. You come home to a home after davening, the table is ready, everything is so nice and fine. Chvayt Shabbos, and the Malachi HaShareis bless the Baal HaBayis. What happens if Chas V'Shalom, the Baal HaBayis comes home from davening Friday night and he walks into the house and it's a big mess and the table's not set and there's no food and everything is in disarray? Then the Malachi HaShareis curse the person. Something along those lines. There are different versions of it, more different versions of exactly what happens, and it's not a good thing. So every Friday night, we learn from this piece of Gemara that there's a very great benefit coming home to a house, to a home that is misudar, that is arranged. Seder, right? The word seder is a very good word. The house is arranged. Everything is al mikoymoy. The night of Pesach is, truthfully, is the makor for this. There is something called, a shulchan aruch. Exactly. In the laws of Pesach, there is a special law in Shulchan Aruch. Let me read you. It says Shulchan Aruch, Aruchayim, Sim Tov Ayin Bei, Sif Aleph, Vezel L'Shaynai, Yihyeh Shulchanoi Aruch Mibeod Yom, Kedei Lechol Miyad Shetechshach. So that immediately, the moment, the reason that there's more of a reason, when it comes to Friday night, it's a Gemara, it's not a halacha, it's an inyan. It's a nice thing, you come up with Chalei Shabbos, everything should be arranged. But when it comes to night of Pesach, there's a rush. We're in a rush. There are mitzvahs that must be done. Matzah must be eaten. Morah must be eaten. The Dalit Kaisis must be consumed. The mitzvah, the Gadta Levincha, must be performed. There are multiple mitzvahs that must be performed the night of the Seder. Everything should be ready to go. There is a plan. Therefore, in order to make sure that you will succeed in carrying out the mitzvahs of the night, it's necessary and required by law that the shulchan be arranged. Everything should be al mikoymoy. The Beis Yosef there on that chiddush of Shulchan Aruch says that he writes an incredible thing of mashma sheyesh chiyuv miyuchad, a unique chiyuv b'lel shimurim la'aroich mibeod yom kidei sheyiz dareis ba'arichas haseder. You should be diligent in going through the mitzvahs of the Seder, below, and furthermore, this is the answer to every single question, below yishnu hatinoi, because the children should not fall asleep. So this Beis Yosef really is an awesome Beis Yosef, which is megale, this incredible thing that is a special, unique halacha that applies to Pesach, that does not apply to any other night of the year, not even Shabbos. Shabbos, no one's going to disagree with Feirush Gemara, but it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch that the Shulchan should be Aruch. You come home Friday night if you have a house that's Misudar and you mechaber the Shabbos, so the Melon will come home, everything is going to be arranged, you get a special bracha. But let's say you're not interested in the bracha, or let's say it is what it is, it's not a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you have to have the table arranged so when you come home right away everything should be Misudar. There's no halacha. It's a nice thing to do. Leil Pesach, it's a halacha. Halacha is the shulchan should be set before you go to shul. during the afternoon, so that when you come home at night, everything is ready to go. It even means that over here, that there are some chassidim, they have a custom to arrange the table 3 days in advance. Okay, I don't think anyone does that today. Now that I know about 3 days in advance, to have everything on the table all ready to go, misudar, because you have to be misdares to do the mitzvahs. Okay, fine. That is a unique halacha b'regea the night. Now here's where something that becomes very interesting, and that is, there's an entirely separate halachic issue, totally separate topic. When does a woman light ner shel yontif? So we know that when it comes to Lil Shabbos, women light candles 18 minutes before sunset. Or in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, the Dominicans light candles 40 minutes before sunset. Sometimes a woman is in a rush, so they light less than 18 minutes, but at least you should light place of Shabbos at least 5 minutes, 2 minutes, all different opinions. At least 5 minutes. Even if you're in a rush, a person should be very careful not to wait until the very last second to light candles. Light candles at least a couple of minutes before sunset. And L'chat Fila, our minig is 18 minutes, 20 minutes, 22 minutes. Yerushalayim, the minig is 40 minutes, v'chulu v'chulu. Okay, fine. That's because you have no other choice. You cannot light candles after sunset because it's already Shabbos. Once the sun sets, it's already halachically Shabbos. It's chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos to light candles once the sun sets. What about Yom Tov? You're allowed to light candles. You're not allowed to strike a match. It is categorically forbidden to strike a match on Yom Tov because of Muktzah, Noilat. You are creating a new fire, but you are allowed to go to the range, to a yard side, a candle that you lit specifically, it's like a yard side type of candle. You're not mamash for yards, because a yard side candle you're not supposed to derive benefit from, but you are permitted to go and light a candle from a range and light candles, technically speaking, after Yom Tov has begun. And this is a big debate among the Paiskim. What is the ideal thing to do? Do we say loy plug? Just like Shabbos, we light candles Erev Shabbos, and we make a brach asher kedushan b'mitzvot svar l'halik ner shel Shabbos. Loy plug, Yom Tov, you light candles for Yom Tov, Erev Yom Tov, asher kedushan b'mitzvot svar l'halik ner shel Yom Tov, 18 minutes before sunset Erev Yom Tov. Loiplug. What's the chesaron in doing that? Because it's not at Yom Tov. You're making a bracha. You're making a bracha lahalig ner shel Yom Tov before Yom Tov. Bishlam Shabbos. You have no choice. But Yom Tov, you do have a choice. Yom Tov, there's nothing wrong with lighting the candles after Yom Tov begins. It's mutar.
You're saying Shabbos before Yom Tov?
What?
You're saying
Shabbos. Oh, so that changes the dynamics a little bit more. So Mr. Marillis is on the ball. And he says, okay, maybe you'll answer. Listen, if you make the bracha asher kedushan b'mitzvot l'halik ner shel Shabbos before Shabbos, loy plug, you'll make the bracha asher kedushan b'mitzvot l'halik ner shel Yom Tov also 18 minutes before Yom Tov. But that might be good and fine, let's say, for the second days of Pesach, when you're not making a shechiyonu. But it is the minigam of women, right or wrong, that's what they do. The women make a shechiyonu when they light the candles of Yom Tov. They make a shechiyonu. If they make a shechiyonu, the shechiyonu is on the day. It's not yet Yom Tov. It's Erev Yom Tov. How could you make a bracha shechiyonu when it's still Erev Yom Tov? You're playing around with Hashem's name. You're playing around with the bracha which is for the day, not Erev the day. And there's no precedent for this. You want to have a precedent when it comes to Shabbos because you have no choice. Okay, that's for the bracha l'halik ner shel Shabbos, l'halik ner shel Yom Tov. But you have no precedent to do this. There's no precedent to do this when it comes to shehechiyanu. This is a topic of discussion, and everyone follows their minug, and no one's coming.
This year it's not the gay at all.
Why is that here?
Friday night.
It's Friday night. Okay, fine, Friday night. So it's not
the
gay.
When did you come from Pesach?
Yes.
When did you make the shehechiyanu?
I would imagine, I don't know the answer, I don't know. I imagine when you eat, either we did the Shechita, but that's a Gezeres HaKosov, because the Torah tells you.
It doesn't say to make Shechita.
I know, that's a Shulchan Aruch HaOsid. After someone put out this year, I saw
think
the
they would have made it when they Shechted back then, but that was Erev Yom Tov.
Someone this year put out a Sefer about exactly how to conduct the Seder Bizman Shabes Hamigash Oyakaya. Guide. Seder for dummies. Bizman Shabes Hamigash Oyakaya. Exactly. Let's make believe we have stated all the instructions. Make believe there's a Beis HaMikdash, Karm Pesach, step by step, every single prat to do lahalach, a whole sefer on this. L'chol pirotecha, v'diktukev v'chavnasecha. I have no doubt there, it tells you when to light candles, when to make a shechianu, when to do this, when to do that. But let's talk practical, speak what we do until now. Maybe this year we'll have a Beis HaMikdash, alavai. But what do we do? What do we do? You make, so this is a minug of Noshim. Every woman follows their tradition. Okay? So this thing you say correctly, it's not Nogia the first time, because the first time is Friday night. So therefore it's not relevant this year, because this year you have no choice. You have to light candles, and you have to light candles. And you're not allowed to light the candles the second night until Shabbos, so it's not Nogia. Okay, but I, there's a principle I want to bring out anyway, even though it's not Nogia this year. I want to bring out a principle. It is no gear though, you light candles, it's no gear the second days.
So when, why is it no gear the first days? Maybe in such a year like this, the women should wait till Kiddush for the Shechiyah.
Oh, that's a Shechiyonu issue. That's a Shechiyonu issue, you're right, but let's put that aside. But hey, let's even talk about, I want to, but even just lighting the candles. Forget about the Shechiyah, there's a big topic, that's a very big topic issue. We'll make a Shechiyah, not, me'ikar adin, a woman is not supposed to make a Shechiyonu, and they're supposed to be yoyts with the Shechiyonu that their husband makes when he makes Kiddush. The women do not agree with that. They do not agree with that, and the women make a Shechiyonu when they light candles. That's the way it is. That's the way it is, whether you like it or not. Yeah?
Well, when you light the candles, you're accepting yontif.
Correct.
And if they have to plug them in.
Correct.
So theoretically, it's yontif.
Tosfos is, first of all, there's a very big debate in halacha. Is there tosfos yontif? There is tosefes Shabbos. There's tosefes gezeres hakasef. There is a biblical principle of adding to the Shabbos.
What's the pasuk?
I don't know. It's a drasha. Gemara is drasha, but b'chorish or akaser tishpois. The Gemara has an extra pasuk. The Gemara, it's a Gemara we had in a year ago in Dafyomi. It's a Gemara. There's a mitzvah de'oraisa to add to the Shabbos, to be mamshech the Shabbos. It is not clear that there is a mitzvah de'oraisa to add to the Yom Tov. Midrabanan, we do it, and it works.
So then you can make the call.
It's not so simple. Okay, it's all part of the debate. This is a big hot topic of the ideal time for a woman to light candles. Let's say this hit will be relevant the second day.
Shvi'i
Shel Pesach. What does that fall out on? Thursday?
Thursday night.
Does a woman light candles 18 minutes before sunset, or does she light candles when her husband comes home right before they begin the su'udah? Probably, I would imagine that in this community, most women light 18 minutes before sunset. On the second, that's probably what most women do, but that's not so simple. That's not exactly so simple when it comes to yontif, but that's what you do. Shechiyonu, you don't make a Shechiyonu, you don't make a Shechiyonu on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. It's the only yontif that you don't make a Shechiyonu on. On Shvi'i Shel Pesach, the only time you don't.
Part of Pesach.
But Sukkis, you make a bracha on the last days, you make a Shechiyonu. You do make a Shechiyonu on the last days of Sukkis. Shmini Atzeres, you make a Shechiyonu. Shavuot is only one day. So the only time you don't make a bracha, is Shvi'i and Acharon Shel Pesach, because the only time you do not make a bracha Shechiyonu by Kiddush. Otherwise, every single time Kiddush, you're always going to make a Shechiyonu, at least Ashkenazim. Sfaradim don't. But Ashkenazim, every single time Yom Tov, you'll always be making a Shechiyonu during Kiddush. And when a woman, when the husband makes a Shechiyonu by Kiddush, the wife makes a Shechiyonu when she lights the candles. Okay, this is a big topic of discussion. Now it's not again this year, but I want to bring out a point. Let's say, for argument's sake, you come from a family, your wife is from a family that your minig is that Yom Tov, you light candles after Tzeis HaKoychavim, Rosh Hashanah. You light candles when the husband comes home from shul, before you sit down to the meal, that's when the wife, let's say, most people probably don't do this, but let's say you come from such a family, that's when you light candles. Shvi'i Shel Pesach, you're going to light candles after your husband comes home. And Shavuos, the same thing. You light the candles the first night, you light the candles when it's right before the meal, when it's Vaday Laila, so the Shechayanu can be said at the time when it's Vaday Laila. Even if you are from such a family that has such a strong custom, and there's no other way, my way or the highway, that's the way they do things, do they also do the same principle, follow the same rule on the night of Pesach? On the first night, on the first night, it's not again this year. I know it's not again, because this year, why? So Manishtana Halala is Amikom Halelos, excellent. Why? You should add that to the Manishtana. Manishtana, the Oshad, only on Tovim. Mommy lights the candles when daddy comes home. But Halayla Hazeh, Mommy lit the candles before. A fifth question, the fifth question of the Haggadah, what's the difference? It's because of what it says here in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, it says that there's a halacha that when you come home from shul, the table already must be ready to go. It says in the first Shulchan Aruch, the first halacha of the Seder, you arrange the table in the afternoon. Erev Yom Tov. The chairs are set. The tables are set. Your plates and everything. The whole shulchan has to be arranged. Why?
That includes neighbors.
Oh, exactly. That includes the neighbors. Exactly. When it says that the shulchan has to be arranged so that there is no delay, there are many mitzvahs that have to be done. Many mitzvahs. You got to do a lot of stuff. Four cups of wine. Got to eat matzah, morar, karpas, koirech. You got a bench. You got to... There's a lot of stuff to do over here. Afikoman presents have to be negotiated. There's a lot of stuff that has to be done. There's no time to waste. It's a halacha shochanach. It's the only day of the year, the only time, the only seuda of the entire year where Shulchan Aruch demands that the table be arranged in the afternoon so you're ready to go. No dilly-dally, and especially so the children do not fall asleep. Not even Friday night. Oh, you'll tell me what it says in the Gemara when you come home with your shulchan is aruch, the malachim, the malachi hashois bless you. That's like we said 2 days ago, that's an inyan. That's a nice thing to do. But it's not a halacha. That's not a halachic requirement. Shulchan aruch, all the various sources, the Beis Yosef, to go struggle to find this, part of the law of the Seder, of having a Seder, the Lil Pesach, is to arrange your table in the afternoon. Now comes the big dilemma. Does that include candle lighting? Is the candle lighting a chelek of your of Shulchanoi Aruch? Is that a chelek? So you can debate this. You can say, yes, the whole purpose of having lighting the candles is shalom bayis. You should see the food, ambiance. It creates a certain setting. It's a chelek of the shulchan.
There's two reasons to light candles.
Kavod Shabbos. There's another time.
So what is a reason for lighting candles? Is it for shalom bayis, which is not the same shalom bayis, so you don't fall on the avonim and the
many things are the same.
So what is the real reason?
So there are many reasons. You can't say there are many reasons why you light candles.
Only Kavod Yom Tov? Like it's covered shots.
So that's all part of the level. Okay, I don't know. Yeah.
Against it because your table could be ready 2 o'clock in the afternoon also. Then you certainly can't do candles.
Okay, so you can't do it 2 o'clock in the afternoon too, but you have to light the candles 18 minutes.
But you did already shulchan aruch. Everything else is ready.
It's all part of the night. It's not a kasha. There are certain things like you can't put the food on the table. You can't put the hot food on the table yet. You can't go pour the cup of wine yet. Whatever you can do, when it says in Shulchan Aruch, you arrange that means whatever you can do. Likewise, you can light the candles before Shabbos, before Yom Tov begins, like you light every Friday night. Because so that when you come home from shul, everything should be ready to go. When a husband goes to shul on a regular Friday night, before he leaves the house, his wife already is lighting the candles. So the same thing when it comes to Yom Tov. So therefore, there's a svara to say, it's an incredible chiddush. Even if you'll take a hold of the shul, which is a very big topic, it's a very big debate. Okay, people don't necessarily know what other people do, but there are different minhagim with regard to lighting candles on the night of Yom Tov. When do you light candles? Even though Shabbos, you have no choice, you must light candles Erev Shabbos, 18 minutes before sunset. There are definitely people that have a custom that on the night of Yom Tov, they light the candles after their husband comes home before they start the Seudah for different reasons. There's no Tosefta Shabbos when it comes to Yom Tov, Midaraisa. And you make Meshachianu. Meshachianu, it's not yet the time to make the Meshachianu. You want the Meshachianu to be close to the meal as possible. There are different halachic reasons why there are Noshim who do light candles on the night of Yom Tov after the husband comes home when it's Vaday Laila. Question. Does that, those people, do they follow that same rule on the first night of the night of the Seder?
Do the candles have to be lit on the actual Shulchan?
No. So there's a lechatchil and b'diavad. Ideally, it would be a very nice thing to do. Ideally. No one's going to tell you not. Ideally, if you can light the candles on the table itself. Okay, so there are safety first, 100%. A hotel. In the hotels, they don't even light the candles in the room where they eat. Okay? They not necessarily. No, not necessarily. I went to the Agudah convention. I didn't get a pin though.
Well, that was
but I went to the Agudah convention this year.
Why they don't put the candles on the table.
And where were the candles were lit? Far, far away from the dining area. Far away.
So why didn't that was a very crowded place?
Why don't they put it on the table? Where the caterer makes a fancy
Sarkonis
wedding.
Sarkonis
when the caterer makes a fancy wedding, he puts candles on. There's no Sarkonis Nefashis.
The answer is very simple. Because the caterer is lighting the candles. To have every...
No, so I'm saying you should light. You light the candles.
No. Obviously, it's not practical.
Because they're tall.
It's not practical.
No, it's obviously nobody asked.
No, tall candles.
All right, you want to say that? You want to say that? Yes or no? Obviously, you're dealing with over 1,000 people.
You should like.
You got to be a little practical. A little practical.
Most hotels.
Okay.
Most hotels, they like the lobby.
Right.
The desk watching them or a security guard watching them until they're out.
Of course. And when you're sitting in the dining room, could you even see them? Okay, Rav Dov. So, in a hotel, obviously, you would sit in your home. I don't know what goes on everyone's home, but I imagine in probably most people in their home, the candles are not being lit on the dining room table. They're on the buffet, they're on the side.
Right.
And if you turn off the electricity, you would be deriving benefits from those candles. And when you walk into the room, the candles give an ambiance because the candles are right in front. Are they on the table, manish? Most people not. When I was a kid, we had it on. I remember it on the table. I remember as a kid, it was on the table. There are probably many families that have it on the table still.
That's
I don't know.
Kids are there.
Okay, whatever. But they have little kids. Before you turn around, you know you're in trouble, right? So, but most people today at home, the candles are in the same room. What happens if the candles are not in the same room? So Rav Moshe is a tshuva. Rav Moshe says. Lighting candles is not only for shalom bayis. It's not only, you're not just lighting candles that you shouldn't trip and fall. He holds that the ikar reason you light candles is just to do something l'chavoy Shabbos. It's not a practical action. You light a yahrzeit candle. What are you doing lighting a yahrzeit candle? What? This Kabbalah, Ner Elokim Nishmas. Okay, Kabbalah. Shabbos is not Kabbalah. You light a candle as a way to remind you, Shabbos today. It's Shabbos. It's an action that you do. I light this candle as a statement. Tonight is Shabbos, and that Adarabba has to be done Erev Shabbos as a way of recognition. Tonight is Shabbos. The Meila Koin Rav Moshe says that's why the Bidyavet, if you can't put the candles on the table, you can't put the candles in the same room, if the candles are somewhere else, it's also good. It's not a bracha levatola. You're doing something lichvoy Shabbos, even though you're not going to derive any benefit from it. You have to do, that's the takon of Chazal, to do this Erev Shabbos lichvoy Shabbos. It's good enough. But lechatchila should be on the table. So if you learn now, if you learn that it's mamish, lichvoy Shabbos, lichvoy Yantif, L'chvayt Shabbos, L'chvayt Yom Tov. So then, it's not even totally in the Shulchan. It's not a chelek of the Se'uda. So when it says in Shulchan Aruch that you should arrange your table in advance before Yom Tov begins, then that has nothing to do with lighting candles. What do the lighting candles? It says in Shulchan Aruch that you are required to set the Seder table Erev Yom Tov. Very good. I set the Seder table Erev Yom Tov. Candles? What do the candles have to do with the table? The candles is something that you do l'chvoid Yom Tov. So if your custom is on Yom Tif only, to light the candles right before the Seuda. So light the candles before this. So that's what you do on Rosh Hashanah. That's what you do on Shri Shal Pesach. That's what you do on Sukkot. That's what you do on Achara and on Shmini Atzeres. So Gesundheit, hey, do the same thing, the little Seder. Because the candles have nothing to do with the Shulchan. But if you learn that the primary time of lighting candles at the is in order to enhance the Seuda, which certainly to some degree is true, in order to illuminate the food, you should see what you're eating, and even though we have electricity and it's some ambiance, it's a chelek of the shulchan. So then there's an argument to be made that even if you're from that group of people in this world who have a custom that on the Lel Yom Tov to bedafka light the Yom Tov candles after the husband comes home from shul, right before you begin the seuda, that may be valid and true only with Rosh Hashanah, with Sukkot, with Shmini Atzeres, with Shri Yishol Pesach. But Lel Seder, if the Nerois are a chelek of the Shulchan, you should light the candles 18 minutes before sunset, before the Seder, because that's a chelek of the Mesader, the Shulchan, Erev Yom Tov. So there should be zero delay when you come home, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah halayla. Okay, Hakira, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you, Olam Shavara, this is all new to me. It's a very, very pleasant idea, this concept. It brings a lot of things together. Okay, now here's something also, which is a little bit this blew my mind. Rosh Hashanah, let's go to Rosh Hashanah. Everyone loves Rosh Hashanah, right? Dip the apple in the honey. And the simonim, yeah, come home, you have a whole platter, they make, you know, a whole of all the different types of simonim, and you get a siddur, or you get a piece of paper, or a chart. Some people, they go for this stuff, they really simonim milsa, and they go to town, head of a fish, head of a sheep, and raise in salary, and this and that, everyone knows all the jokes and all the things. Simonim milsa, very, very nice. Do you go through the whole ceremony the second night of Rosh Hashanah?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Okay. So the second you make a that's a different thing, a Shachiyanu. Hi, look at the Simon, the Simon is not a Shachiyanu. The things that you eat for the Simonim usually are not a Shachiyanu. Those are things you eat the whole year. You have Simonim mills, it should be a good Simon for the year. Do you go through the whole ceremony the second night of Rosh Hashanah? There are different minhagim. I think most people don't. I don't know what you do, none of my business. Mayor does, Mayor tells me most people do. Good. They dip, maybe they have like a hybrid. They dip the apple in honey and they have a pomegranate, but do they go through mamish the whole siddur and bring in all of these items? You know, it's a lot of work to go prepare and do everything right. There are different minhagim. I don't know. Everyone to each his own. But one thing is certain. There are many people that do not. They do not. Even though we live in Chutz La'aretz and we have 2 days. You do what?
You're the first person I met that doesn't.
That doesn't? Really? Yeah. Is there anyone here in the room that doesn't do it? Everyone does all the simonim? Every single one of the simonim the second night? Shocking.
Why not?
Shocking.
Why not? I didn't grow up with it, but I started later on. I didn't grow up.
Oh, you know, when you grew up, when you only did the first night?
No, they didn't have any simonim.
Oh, zero. Not the first, not the second.
No, they didn't have
simonim. Not the first.
That's a different thing.
Okay.
Most Jews don't do it either night.
What?
Most Jews don't do it either night.
All right. Listen, I don't know, maybe I'm totally wrong, but I have no doubt in my mind. If you go look, in the books, in the big books that tell you what to do, how to conduct yourself on the Seder, they will tell you that there are different customs regarding doing the entire ceremony of all of the simonim on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. There's definitely a significant group of people that do not do the second night of Rosh Hashanah. Simonim milsa. Sorry, yeah, Alan?
Just the Shachiyanu.
Just the Shachiyanu. You see? I found someone that agrees with me. Okay, Alan Gross. Alan Gross only does his traditions, only the simonim on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. Anyone else? Mr. Rappaport. You're online. Mr. Rapport, what do you do? You do the simonim the second night?
Right.
Dr. Friedman, you do the simonim the second night?
Yeah.
Only the first night. Oh, you no, see
I
that?
I listened to the first night, sorry.
You what?
I listened to the first
night. Only the first night? Oh, so Ezra. Ezra, Me'im Hashem, look at this. Only the first night. You see, Dr. Friedman, only the first night. Mr. Gross, only the first night. Mr. Rappaport, what do you do, Mr. Rappaport? A blazer, what do you do? So I think I'm in the majority now. You see?
Why are we talking about Rosh Hashanah?
Oh, here we're getting to this. Okay. Now we're coming. So that's now.
There's
a middle. I'm running out of time. A blazer, do you do the simonim the second night? All the simonim, the whole ceremony? Only the first night.
You see,
everyone here is only the first night. This is the majority. Most people only do it the first night. I'm sorry. In this room, look, we have over here, most people. Rabbi Mayevsky, what do you do?
I did it both nights.
Both nights. Okay, both nights, fine.
If I don't make it, I don't get a meal.
All right, there are different minhagim. Now, what am I telling you, Rosh Hashanah? It's not Rosh Hashanah. Pesach. What was it? There's a minhag that you're supposed to beautify your table with your best. The best that you got the night of the Seder. You're supposed to take out of storage your most expensive, exquisite kelim and put them on the table to beautify the table. Okay, and at kidei kach, I can't tell you now all of the sources. If you don't have. I don't have. Borrow. Go to your next door neighbor. Can you maybe spare me, you know, that $1,000 goblet that you have in your bookcase? You have enough of those. Give me.
Well, that could be Lezech of the Shalom, Yishav
Yishchanim. Oh, exactly. And what about going to a guy? Go to non-Jews. There are minhagim. A person must beautify his table with the best that he got. And even if the kelim ad kedei kach, it's not a matter of their being functional. It has nothing to do that you're actually going to use it. Don't use it. It's not kosher. It belongs to a goy. It needs tevila b'mikvah. I need to beautify my table with expensive kelim. So go to the next door neighbor, a goy, borrow from him something very expensive, or let's say... What? Mishallah Isham... They're right. So someone would say it's a zeche for the minhag of borrowing... What?
And the Jews borrow...
Right.
That's right. I don't see how fast they're going to give
them. Okay, they're not going to give back. Well, let's say, some even argue, let's say you have in your possession collateral. You lent a guy $1,000. He gave you his watch. Put the watch on the table. Are you allowed to use it? No. Not allowed to use it. Some say you are, you're not. Let's say another Jew. You lend a Jew $1,000. He gave you the watch. You're not allowed to use it, but put it on the table. Yes. You're supposed to beautify your table, and it doesn't mean necessarily that you're supposed to use it. It doesn't have to be functional. Life is not about functionality. Life is all for show. Everything is all for show. Okay? You're just supposed to, on the table, to beautify the table. Why? There are different reasons. Some say that this is a very popular reason they give it, because it's on the night of Pesach, you do Heseba. How do you do Heseba? So there's a lot of discussion, the correct way to do Heseba. The way you do Heseba l'chatchila is on the table. You're supposed to use the table for Heseba. Maybe we'll talk about Belsky, how the table, people don't do that. Some people do Heseba on their chair. That's not correct. The real way to do Heseba is on the table. Belsky holds, the way you do Heseba is you go like this. You put your elbow on the table, and you put your hand on your face, and you lean to the side, and you drink with your other hand. That's the way you do a seba. Nothing to do with having a recliner chair. All right, that's another topic of discussion. I do a seba, the different ways. Maybe we'll talk about it. I don't remember all the meals. That's not how I prepare today. But a seba is done on the table. Memela, the table is the chefsa de mitzvah. It's an object of mitzvah. So an object of mitzvah you beautify. Zeh keli, that's a very popular what I'm talking about. The reason why you beautify the table is not because you're showing wealth, you're ashiras. It's that the night of the Seder, the table is a chefsa de mitzvah, along with the briskavot. It's a chefsa de mitzvah, and you have to be mahadar and beautify like the sukkah, the schach, It's a chefsa de mitzvah, sukkah decorations. Pesach, table decorations. The same way you put up sukkah decorations to beautify the chefsa de mitzvah, the lel seder, the shulchan is a chefsa de mitzvah, so it's shulchan decorations. You need to get shulchan decorations, so you go to Eichler's and you buy some tchotchkes to put on the table. You don't have, you borrow, you take out of your cabinet, you go to the guy, you beautify the table. Okay, fine. Now here comes something which blew my mind. Okay, very nice. You're going to go through a lot of effort to go to the attic and to find these family, you know, tchotchkes that are worth, who knows, you go to the vault, take out these very expensive things and you put on the table. Ah, malchus. Do you do this both nights? Or do you only do it the first night? So let's go back to Simonim on Rosh Hashanah and Manishtam.
No, it's two different things. Why?
What are two different things?
Rosh Hashanah I can say to you, but Rift it's one more.
Yes. That's why you shouldn't do it.
Pesach, the second day is I have to do the Chutz Laaretz what I did the first night. It's two
not
separate
simple
days, and I do.
That's what I would assume. That's what I assume. I think the people that decorate their table, they decorated both nights. I don't.
If you want to tell me about Shoshana, you don't
want
to
rip. He brings it up with Dvorkis, this dilemma. It's not so poshut that this minhag you do both nights. I'll give you another example. You stay up. We stay up the night of Shavuos. Do you stay up the second night also?
Some weirdos, right?
They have a share over here. Gilbart, he drove a little about him crazy to go give a share at 10 o'clock at night, 10, 11, and after the share is over, they all go to sleep. Okay, you'll tell me. I know in Torah Das and these kids, they went. They say, Chadoshim la bekarim rabbe bunasef anu meshagas to stay up the second night. Come on, that's not the minhag Yisrael. It's a very nice thing, stay up the second night. That's not the minhag Yisrael. No such thing. No such thing. There's a minhag Yisrael to stay up the first night of Shavuos. There's no such minhag Yisrael to stay up the second. There's no such thing. People started doing new minhagim.
There are things that you don't do because they're inconvenient. In other words, the same
is that
reason
the reason?
We don't fast 2 days Yom Kippur. For the same reason, there are people who did it, but it's along those mental capacities.
We have 2 days Shavuos. There's no minhag, there's no such minhag to stay up the second night of Shavuos. No such thing. People want to do whatever you want. There's no such thing.
Because it's not really brought down anywhere,
Staying up the first night is already a minhag v'sikin. It's a minhag v'sikin to stay up the first night. There's no such thing staying up the second night of Shavuos.
Is Haseba really...
Haseba is halacha.
Leaning on the table.
There are different opinions.
I always used to be on the pillow one.
Don't stop what you're doing. Don't listen to anything that I say. Do whatever you did last year. Haseba is a big, big topic.
It's not dafka that way.
All right, Belsky shook up the world. All right, Belsky, there was a video. He demonstrated in Ask OU. They had a seminar in the OU before Pesach with Rav Herschel Schechter, Yibadul Chaim Toy Maruchim, and Rabbi Belsky, Zichron Levracha, and other Rabbanim, and shot at them questions about Pesach, Kashrus questions, and someone then asked him, how do you do Haseba? And Rabbi Belsky very delicately demonstrated exactly the proper way, and he went through the whole thing, and it was posted online on all the Jewish websites, and it created a sensation of a revelation of the real way to do Haseba. And no one ever heard of this before. And no one ever did this before. And it became a thing. Haseba became, how do you taka do Haseba? And Rebelsky, he was a genius of geniuses. And he knew what he was talking about. And he made a revelation, which is very interesting, and how he proved it. And it's online. You type in Haseba or Rebelsky, you're going to find the video in a second. So that's a different topic. Just because he did, I'm not telling you to change. Tradition. Whatever you did last year, that's what you do this year. I just to bring out the point. To bring out the point is there's a famous verse is that the shulchan is a chefsa de mitzvah. There's sukkah decorations and there are shulchan decorations. The dilemma is something which blew my mind. It's a minhag. It's a custom. It's a custom that takes a lot of effort to do the right way. You have to remember the seder is not. It's a bittersweet event, the Seder. Just like Purim. It's not all happy, the Seder.
What's bitter?
It's we maror, no? Maror is the karpas, avoidas perach, salt water, tears, avod mayim lefaro, mitchilo ovdi avoid zara. There are many elements in the beitza, an egg, it's the night of Tisha B'Av, a reminder it's going to be Tisha B'Av. You wear a kittel, it's the Yom HaMisa. This Pesach Seder is a bittersweet event. We're still in Golus. There are elements of the Pesach Seder that are Cheirus, Cheirus, Cheirus. But Matzah, Mitzad Echad, Ki Bichi Pozon Yotzos, V'lo Yochlu L'Hismamea, Mitzad Sheini, Lechem Oini. Whole Achma Anyo, the Achol Avos, the Ardi Mitzrayim.
That's the
predominant. Samachta bechagecha means one thing: meat and wine. That's all it means. Nice clothing. Not everything is a hefkeros. Chasi la Hashem, chasi lochem. One day, you decorate your table. You're a ben chayim. On the other day, your table is bare. You know what's the highlight, the centerpiece of your table? Moror, matzah. Mor is bitter, matzahs lechem oini, karpas, a zecher for the carbon pesach. There's no carbon, that's zeroya, a little shine bone that's burnt, that's the carbon pesach. Rachman al-Litzlan, that's all you got left from the carbon pesach. There are 2 days of pesach in Chutz Liaretz, in Golos. There's one day, malchus, malchus. Your shulchan is aruch, gold and silver. You bring out relics of the past. You borrow from all your neighbors the best. You adorn your table. The second night of Pesach, beer. Beer bones.
That sounds right, because the reason you're having the second Seder is that you're in Golos.
You're in Golos, exactly.
Speaking about the second night, will you discuss the Yak Nahas candle?
Yak Nahas candle, what's the discuss of Yak Nahas candle? So Nidiker had only one candle. The second night, it's a different topic. Maybe I want to finish up this point. It's a different topic. Let's just finish this. I think it's a very powerful point. This idea there, I mean, the work is mentioned, Derech Lemes, Derech Agaf, and study all of the Moadim. And look, you'll see that the first night is not the same as the second night. We've proven from our own people here that many people here in this very room do not do the simon in the second night. And you can say, you can have different ideas what the reasons are. You know, the simon he knows is the haschola, the first night. The second night, it's already the second night, it's not the haschola. There's a limit, especially when it comes to minhagim. Especially, you only do a minhag once. Don't make a minhag into the ikar. There is halacha and there is minhag. There is custom. Stay up the Shavuos night. There was never a minhag to stay up the second night of Shavuos. There's no such thing. People are doing this today. Why are they doing this? What's going on over here? Everything became what used to be the tafel became the ikar. People are staying up the second night of Shavuos. Wouldn't it be much better they should sit and learn the whole day, the second day of Shavuos, than to stay up at night? That would not happen. By day, we're going to go to sleep. You really, really gain staying up the whole night of Shavuos. If the purpose is Torah, to learn Torah, go to sleep, wake up early, come to shul 2 hours before Shacharis, learn, daven like a mensch. When davening is over, learn more, go home, have a fast suda, come back to Beis Medrash. No, a new shtick. Stay up the whole night, the second night, come, and what does that mean? For 3-4 hours. Drink a lot of coffee, and then you daven kivos sikin, and then the whole day, mevatel the whole day. Ridiculous! Right. There's no minhag like this.
You forgot the part where you run through daven.
There's no minhag like that. There's no minhag. The minhag, every single paisek will tell you, staying up the first night of Shavuos is bittul Torah. It's not a rebuilding Torah. There's no one that will tell you staying up the first night of Shavuos. The end game, end result is you learn a lot less by staying up the first night of Shavuos.
Right.
You disturb your entire Seder. Moshe didn't stay up. You disturb your entire Seder Hayom, and the end is you lose a lot more than you gain by staying up. So why do we do it? Yom Tov, we gotta do something different. We need a shake up. We need a shake up. We gotta shake ourselves up. So we gotta go do something dramatic to wake up, and it's worth the price. It's worth the price. The Bittul Torah is worth it in order to wake us up from our slumber. The second night we've done already, you did it, you do it once, you finished. Enough of the Meshugas. Atan. Okay? I mean, Meshugas Hashem. I mean, enough of the Bittul Torah. Go back to life. You got the message. A minute you do once. Rosh Hashanah, Simonin, many people, you do it once. Atan. Okay, what else did we say? What was the other example we said? Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, okay, other things. This is also
Sukkot.
I don't know. But this is not so poshut. It goes also today. I don't know how much people actually do this minhag. You don't hear and see people putting on the table these exotic, beautiful decorations on the table. There's not enough space on the table already the way it is.
That's another thing.
The way it is. You put just the ka'ara, and you put the food, and you put this, and already there's no space on the table. So today, I don't know people... Anyway, you don't hear people going and borrowing from their neighbors and putting these exotic things on. You don't hear about this today. But it used to be a big thing, obviously. If you read the rabbinic literature, it used to be a big thing to go to decorate the table with exotic kalim that you're not even going to use. Do you go through the effort to do this on the second night of Pesach? Not necessarily.
The Rosh Hashanah is Hanukkah.
I just borrowed that expression. I just borrowed that expression. Okay, so this is something that is very, very fascinating. Okay, Rabbi Naaman just mentioned the second night is you make Havdalah Yakneh Bahas. Yakneh Bahas, do you take the two Neiros? When you make Havdalah, do you take two Neiros? Where do you make Burim Murray HaEshan? You make them on the Ner Yontif. Right? You don't go light special candles for this. You light it on the Ner, you go over to the Ner Shel Yontif and you look at them. Should you, when you make the bracha Burim Murray HaEshan, should you take out of the holder, scare your wife? Don't touch my candles. Don't touch my candles. What are you doing? Do you take two candles and put them together? No. Some do it out of ignorance.
Yeshiva sent me a Yakneh Bahas candle. That's right.
So that's a new Mishagas, a nine Mishagas business. They have, but are you required to take the two candles and make an avuka?
No.
It seems not. You know, there are, why? It's Havara, it's Kibui. Just because you're allowed to light on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to extinguish. It's inevitable, by picking up two candles and putting them together, you're going to make
Kibui.
It's going to come the day Kibui. May come, may not. You're being marbi, you're being mamayit. You're not allowed to play with fire. That's a klal in life. Don't play with fire. I don't have clarity, I don't remember exactly, but in my mind, I vaguely remember that the Iker Hadin, you're not required to take two of the candles from the Leichter and pick them up, bring them together to make an avuka. An avuka you do only on a regular Mitzvah Shabbos. On Mitzvah Shabbos, that is Yom Tov, it is sufficient, one ner is enough.
What about this year?
What? That's this year. This year is Yakneh Bahas. This year, that's why this year, the second night of Pesach, the second Seder, is you're making Havdalah. In the Kiddush, you will be making Havdalah. You do not, most people, I can't tell you what everyone does, but I'm just recalling, because you put me on the spot, I recall from memory, that the minute, like the majority of Klal Yisrael is not to make an Avukah.
Right. That's what
absolutely
my question
not.
Was. It's a Mosaic Shabbos.
Yeah.
And you told me that the
Mitzvah Shabbos,
you actually get
on a regular
Mitzvah
Shabbos. Because now
it's Mitzvah Shabbos
and Yom Tov.
So maybe that's why.
You do not.
You don't.
You do not.
It's definitely
not. You don't. You do not pick up two candles and put them together.
You're doing one day.
Because by putting them together, when you take them apart, you're doing kibbutz. It's burning at, when you put two candles together, the intensity is that much greater. When you release it, you are reducing the intensity. That borders on extinguishing. It's not mamish kibbutz, but it borders on extinguishing. And therefore, you don't do it. Oh, but Mitzvah Shabbos, you need an avuka. You don't need an avuka. An avuka is a hidur. in Zecher, Zecher, what's that? Now, there is such a thing today, it's a new, Chadoshim Lavokot and Rabbim Munasecha, you can go into the store, and they'll sell for a lot of money, they will sell a special candle that has two wicks. That candle has two, so they've, oh, look at this, and this is called the Yakne Bahas candle. For this year, you put this candle in a special holder, and you light it, and when you do Borei Me'orei Ho'esh, oh, you're not gonna touch it, and it's an avuka, because you have two wicks in the same candle. This is a new thing that someone invented today. Certainly, they'll probably have haskamas. Are you required?
But if you look in the Mishnah Berurah,
yeah,
because I just went through it, that there is one sheet that it holds for Friday night. It was they would take two candles and wrap them together to make a bigger fire, the covered Shabbos. It's in the Mishnah Berurah.
Regular Friday night.
Look in the Mishnah Berurah.
Okay, first of all, this thing that has two wicks, according to many, you're gaining nothing. That's not called an avuka. An avuka means two candles with two separate sources of fuel. One candle that has two wicks is equivalent to one wick. You're not gaining anything according to many. So it's just more fire, more danger.
That's why the Havdalah candles are twisted.
Right, because the Havdalah candles, each of the wicks has its own source. No one's telling you to light a Havdalah candle Friday night and have that thing burn. That's sakonis and fashas. You gotta be out of your mind to do that. Taking one candle and putting two wicks, you're really gaining nothing, according to many. And so why don't they invent, why don't they sell you in the store? Don't worry, they'll sell yet. Sell two candles that are stuck together. You know what? You know why they don't sell it? They don't want to be responsible for burning down your house.
I'm waiting for two
watchdogs. They don't, the people in the store, they don't want to be responsible. I'm telling you the truth. So why do they do this? Go to the store and they should have sell you a candle, two separate candles that are connected on top. Oh, that's much better. That's a real avuka. And you light that Friday night. They're pashut scared of being sued. Because that's so dangerous. That's already, you're increasing the danger to a degree that they know there's going to be a story in the news. And who are they going to blame? The manufacturer. And they'll come after them. So they're not interested. That already goes to show that the fact that they don't even want to sell that to you because they're scared for their selves, goes to show you, why don't you just do what your grandparents did? Your grandparents, they didn't do anything. They lit the Ner Shel Yom Tov, and when they came to the Baruch Atah Hashem, came to Borei Me'orei'esh, they go to the, and one candle. Oh, but it's not an avuka, so it's not an avuka. Everything in your life is perfect. Everything works out the way you want. You light a candle on Mitzvah Shabbos in order, a zecher for the aura of Maaseh Bereishis, it's a hiddur to have an avuka, but it's okay to have one ner as well. Now there are other, what I'm telling you is not the only opinion. I know there are other opinions that say that you should pick up the two ners and put them together. Some do that. I don't think it's the majority. I don't believe that that is the majority.
No.
It's because you're bordering on a shiloh of kibui, of extinguishing, which you don't want to get involved in. All right. We're really, really out of time. Let me just tell you one other very swift thing before we conclude. Very, very short thing. What is this topic? What is the next topic? Over here. I love this snares. You did this already? Okay, by the way, the Taimanim, they don't make a bracha. By the way, this is a side point here. Right side. Is that nowhere, we went to spend a lot of time on this once upon a time, nowhere B'chol HaTorah Kula does it ever say there's a mitzvah to light in Shas in the Gemara, in Chazal, in the entire Talmud Bavli. Nowhere does it say you should light candles for Yom Tov. The Gemara Shabbos is a mitzvah Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. Where did it come to light candles on Yom Tov?
Yeah.
And to make a bracha, levatola, lahadlik ner shel Yom Tov? Nowhere. 2,711 daf Gemara, not a remes. Yushalmi, zero. Where did it come about? Not so clear where it came about. To make a bracha, levatola, Chazal never instituted to light candles the Yom Tov night.
But everybody's doing
it. It's dark, so go turn on the lights. Go have a candle on your table. To light ner, and to make a bracha, lahalik ner shel Yom Tov, shel bechlal, is a very controversial thing. That's why, you know, it's that equation, when do you exactly light the candles? You want to go make a bracha, you want to light candles, like, look, if I light candles Erev Shabbos, I'm going to light candles Erev Yom Tov. And I'm going to make a bracha. You know, making a bracha in and of itself is a chiddush, because it doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara. And you want to go make the bracha Erev Yom Tov, when it's not even Yom Tov, that's a bigger chiddush. And what's the proof it's such a chiddush? What is the proof? Is the Yemenites don't make a bracha.
The Sfardim do. The Yemenites are the only ones who don't.
Only the Yemenites, they do not make, they do light. They do, that much a day they do. They do light Yom Tov candles. There's no bracha. They have the real tradition. The Yemenites, they never had any confusion. They were always settled in their land. And that speaks, that really speaks volumes. Okay? All right, I'll just leave you with one last thought. The Haggadah begins and ends, this is something that's just a thought, with Aramaic. Can I voice sign? We'll finish off. Aramaic. We begin the Haggadah with Aramaic. Ho lach na'an yardi achola avosona be'ara de mitzrayim. This Aramaic. The Haggadah ends with Aramaic. Chagadya, the Zabin Abba b'treizuze chagad. The only Aramaic in the entire Seder is the beginning and the end. Where else do you have Aramaic? Holachma kol chamira v'chamira. Kol chamira v'chamira d'ika b'reshuse. Okay, when you do bitul chametz, biru chametz, oichet you have. There you also have. And where else do we have Aramaic in halacha? A get. Achman l'tzlan, a get. A get krisu. A get.
Ksuv is also Aramaic.
What?
Ksuv
is takonis rabban. The whole davening is that. That's the rabban. I want to talk about dinim d'oraisa. Dinim d'oraisa. Okay, the seder is not a d'oraisa, all the things. But the seder, it sandwiches the mitzvahs of d'oraisa. The seder halayla, it sandwiches, you know, you begin and you end. Bir chametz is a d'oraisa. You have to be, yeah, bir chametz, bal yira, bal yimotze, bir chametz. That's a deraisa. And that, we make a bracha, a sherek edeshanu, and then you say in Aramaic, kol chamira v'chamio dika b'reshusei. A get krisus, a divorce. It's very bizarre. It's written, why is it written in Aramaic? It's written not, oh, it's a mix. But most of a get is in Aramaic. Why? Why would it, why?
It's suba also.
A ksuba is not a deraisa. A ksuba is a takonis chazal.
Right.
A get is a din deraisa. Beer chametz is deraisa.
Needs lishma, maybe.
Beer, so you need lishma, so you write in
people
Hebrew.
Don't understand
a sefer Torah needs lishma. You write a sefer Torah in Hebrew, you write in Aramaic.
Right. That was the common language.
So what?
Everybody understood. So it had to be something that
you can't teach people a few Hebrew words. It's a very hard thing. The average person doesn't know a few Hebrew words. I hear all. But here's the we have to finish it right now. I want to finish it right. Here's the interesting. He points out with the book is Der Haggadah. He points out is that these things are not purely in Aramaic. In these examples that we are discussing, the Seder, the whole Seder is in Hebrew. The Aramaic is only in contrast. Contrast. It begins in Aramaic and ends in Aramaic. It begins with Holach Ma'anya Haggadah. But everything else in the center is Hebrew, Hashem Kodesh. When you do the mitzvah of Bir Chametz, you make a brach in Hebrew. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kidoshenu b'mitzvos Tzitzonu al Bir Chametz. And then you say in Aramaic, kol chamir v'chamir. A get is a mix. It's a mix of Hebrew and Aramaic. There is a difference between pure Aramaic and contrasting Aramaic with Hebrew. It's a very powerful idea. A get bedafka, it's part Hebrew, part Aramaic. The ksuba is pure Aramaic, pure. Brich shmei, it's pure Aramaic. Okay, there are things, the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, it's pure, pure Aramaic. These things, it's very strange. If Chazal was so concerned that people don't know the language, they don't know Hebrew, so why is the whole Haggadah in Hebrew? The whole Haggadah is in Hebrew. If it's good enough to be in Hebrew, so why is Holach Ma'anya in Aramaic? Why is Haggad in Aramaic? If the bracha of Biur to destroy the Chametz, we're going to destroy the Chametz, is in Hebrew, so what's the Aramaic? There is something about contrast. Contrast.
It's not because of the goyim, she should not understand it.
Well, when you say the whole Haggadah, they understand what we're saying.
This, no, but we say the Shana Ba'ahad. השנה הזאת בגלות, שנה הבאה בארץ ישראל.
Maybe that's another reason. I hear you get many different ideas. The Chagat, I said, the Chagat is Aramaic. The whole Chagat is Aramaic. But the whole Haggadah, Shefoy Chamoschel Agoyim, Asher Lo Yidu'ucha, that's all in Hebrew. Shoy Chamoschel is in Hebrew. The whole Haggadah is about Dam, Sardeya, Datzach, Hadash, Yachab, Yod Chazaka, all the Rishoyim, get rid of them. The whole Haggadah is in Hebrew. Who are we trying to fool? You don't know Hebrew? It's Aramaic. You don't know Hebrew. So the whole Haggadah is in Hebrew. So the whole Achma Anya will be Amaratza. The Chagag will be Amaratza. But the whole Haggadah, that will all of a sudden be Chacham.
You have to change the English anyway there.
When it comes to biurcham, kol chamira v'chamia. Did you know you're making a bracha al biur chametz? Do you know what that word means? To destroy the chametz. So if you know what that word means, you have to say the rest in Aramaic. You want to write again in Hebrew? Write in Hebrew. You want to write in Aramaic? Write. What's this mixture? This taruvus? There's a chilik between pure Hebrew, pure Aramaic, and a ta'aruvus.
Erev Tavshil is also the same thing.
Erev Tavshil is...
It's in Aramaic. But the bracha, you're saying.
But the bracha starts.
So he's... The idea that trying to extract is...
Yeah.
Pesach, like we said, is a bittersweet holiday. There's moror, lechem oini, there's golos. There's a lot of... A divorce is not a nice thing. Yet a divorce for some people is very good. No, the minig is they say mazel tov. The minig is the dayanim when they after the get is given. That's what the minig is. They give the get, and everything goes smooth. The dayanim say mazel tov. That's the halacha. That's that other minig. Mazel. Mazel tov. You know, for some people it's a taka. It's a mazel tov. It's Hashem. Arranges things the way a person had to go through a tekufa in his life, whatever it is, and now it's new tekufa. Really, a get is a groisa tzar. It's a bitter, bitter thing. Again, who's not going to tell you that it's bitter? Yes, it is. But yet the dayanim say mazel tov. Aramaic captures golos. Lashon HaKodesh captures geula. There are certain things that we do throughout the year. It's in Lashon HaKodesh. There are things that we do in the year, it's Aramaic. And then there are certain things that we do that have a ta'aruvus, because it's complicated. A get is, bedafka by design, is a ta'aruvus. The Lel Seder by design, it's not only because we're Amoratz and we don't know how to talk the language. By design, it's sandwiched. We're in Golos. That's the bottom line. Before we start the Seder, we're in Golos. When the Seder is over, Mashiach doesn't come, we're in Golos. So what have we done in the meantime? We've gone into Fantasy Island. Geula, Geula, Geula. You have to appreciate Mashiach is not here yet. You have to appreciate the academy, the taruvus, the mixture. You've been burning the Seor Shebi Issa. Asher Kiddushani B'mitzvayse V'tzivan Albir Chametz. What is this Chametz? The Yetzer Hara, Ubo HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shochah L'Malach HaMavetz. Really? Really? Hashem really started the Yetzer Hara? The Yetzer Hara is all around us. Taka. Kol Chanira V'Chanira, same Aramaic. It hasn't happened yet. Remind yourself, don't fool yourself that just because you said Hashem's name, B'Shem L'Malchus, Al Bi'ur Chametz, Lashon HaKodesh, the Yetzer Hara is gone. He ain't gone. He's right in front of you. Kol chamira v'chamira. Pesach, all the Moadim, is the Moed, which it brings together the complexity of the yearning for the Geula and the appreciation and the recognition we have a long way to go. We're still stuck in Golis. And when you mix the Ta'aruvis of Lashon HaKodesh, Mamish, back and back, that's what it captures. The Dugma is the Get. The Get is, Chazal don't know how to write in Hebrew. You want to write in Hebrew, write in Hebrew. You want to write in Aramaic. What's going on over here? This is a Daraisa. This is serious business over here. And not everything else. It's either one way or another. There's a lesson to be learned to appreciate the contrast, the ideal, and what's practical, what is the reality. All right, stop over here. Thank you for coming, everybody. Have a wonderful day.